The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. I had prepared this homily earlier in the week, and then yesterday I was in Fredericksburg. One of my dear friends from Fredericksburg was the pastor at Fredericksburg Baptist Church, and he had his retirement celebration yesterday afternoon. And they asked me to come and give some comments, some words at his reception. He is an extraordinary man, and as I got there, he pulled me aside and he said, "I know that Larry Leno, who is the Methodist pastor in Fredericksburg, Larry Leno has a house in Colonial Beach. You have a house in King George. We're going to get together and we're going to work on a couple of projects." So he's not going anywhere. But as he was finishing his comments, he had this most beautiful thing that he said. He said, "Shame on you if you do not stand on the shoulders of those of us who went before you so that you can see farther." I thought that was so beautiful how he said that. Shame on you if you don't stand on our shoulders. Because that's how things grow, right? He was the founder of the homeless ministry in Fredericksburg. So many things. And truly a good man. Larry Hahn is his name. I'll probably talk about him some more in the future when I find out what he's cooking up. But I think you might think this is weird, but when I was a kid in elementary school, one of the things I really enjoyed was diagramming sentences. I know, I'm a geek. I've always been a geek. I hide it as an adult, but I loved it. It was like a puzzle to be solved. Everything in a good sentence has its proper place, and it was the process of figuring out how all this fits together. When I studied German in college, it became particularly helpful because, like Latin, you have to identify what is the subject, verb, object, clauses, and prepositional phrases before you can figure out what the sentence even says, because all the words are mixed up. So for fun, I worked at diagramming the second reading today, and I found something startling. It's all based on the prepositional phrase, "in him." St. Paul's theology in the proclamation of the gospel today is so clear in the second reading. He tells the source of our joy and the reason for our being. It is the message that the world needs to hear today, especially for all of those who think that religion is just an institution, maybe even built on strong faith in the distant past, but not something living today. St. Paul says we are destined for adoption, a plan chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy. Incorporated in Christ, we no longer live for ourselves. We are in a relationship. We exist for the praise of the glory of the Father's grace granted us in his beloved. We have adoption in him in accord with the will of his Father. In him, we have forgiveness in accord with his grace. In him, he set forth his plan for the fullness of time to sum up all things in Christ. In him, we were chosen so that we might exist for the praise of his glory. In him, we have heard the word of truth and have believed and been sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption as God's possession. This is an entirely different way of looking at life than most of the world sees. We are not mere individuals facing impossible odds and threatening situations. In Him, we are one. I speak about this a lot, but I want to consider again the difference between an individual and a person. A person requires a relationship with another in order to know and to be known. Together, we are more. We are together, and it is in Him that we operate with His power and authority. In Him, we are powerful. You, as the church, are called to be disciples. The word ecclesia, you might think of the word ecclesial, right? Ecclesiastical, church-related. The word ecclesia means those who are called. This church is the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. You are sent to be apostles. Apostolon, the word for apostle in Greek, means one who is sent. He sends the apostles off in the gospel today and gives them authority over unclean spirits and the power to cure the sick. It's His power that He gives them in Him. They went out and preached Jesus' message, not on their own, and by His instruction were to take nothing extra along to rely on but His message. Only a walking stick, sandals, and a tunic. No food, no sack, no money to rely on, not even a change of clothes. Because in Him, we lack nothing. Again this week, I ask myself, is this something I could do? Can life actually be this simple? Maybe we can take all the jumbled experiences of life, all the seemingly random situations and events, and do for ourselves a little sentence diagramming. Let's look more closely into how all these things are ordered and connected. Everything depends on how I approach my life and my faith. The kind of constant conversion that I must make is a daily, gradual giving of myself to God. As a priestly people, we make offerings to God. The most important offering you make is the offering of yourself. I come to know myself more and more in Him, entering into His mysteries, literally the praise of the Father's glory. We gather in Him as Christ, offering Himself to the Father. Becoming Christ, we live through Him, with Him, and in Him, so that all glory and honor may be given to the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. This is the introduction to the great Amen, which we acclaim at the end of the Eucharistic prayer of every Mass. It is the affirmation of the institution of Eucharist and the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus being present to us. That Amen is the most important word you speak at Mass. By this acclamation, God receives us, consecrates us, and turns us into the body and blood of Jesus, to be broken and fed to the world. Consider a plan God chooses in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you might be holy. By His love and mercy, you and I are part of that plan. It is the reason for all creation, actually, and it is the reason that we are here at this Mass. Nowhere else can you be Jesus saving the world. Because He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as St. Paul says, we have now the responsibility to live in Him and to use His power and authority to heal and teach our world, not with our truth, but in Him.